Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another version of Bardo's Breakdown. I'm your host, Stephen Bardo, and I got a special treat for you this week, ladies and gentlemen. Check this out. My man, Mark Adams. Mark is a national college basketball analyst for ESPN, and he trademarked the term mid-majorology, where he breaks down the action from the mid-major level, and he's also one of the leading authorities in college hoops. Mark is also a very successful motivational speaker and author of 8 books. His topics include leadership, coaching, and peak performance, to name a few. Mark was also a successful basketball coach. I told you guys, this guy's special. He was on the sidelines for 17 years. Known as a program rebuilder, his specialty was taking programs that were struggling when he arrived and turn them into winners. It's my pleasure to have my main man and friend and colleague, Mark Adams, on the show today. What's going on, Mark? How you doing, man?
Steven, you're the best. I'm jacked to be on with you today and really looking forward to visiting a little bit about some of those successful strategies that you and I have talked about in the past.
Yeah, I appreciate you being on, man, and I look forward to getting into it. So let's hop to it. I want to give our listeners a chance to get to know you, because it's said that people can't hear you unless they really know you. So how and why, Mark, did you get into coaching early into your professional career?
You know, Stephen, it was just an early life passion. I can't remember at any time, even as a kid, of wanting to do anything else other than be a college basketball coach. I started coaching when I was 15 years old. My father used to have to drive me to practices. And based upon that fundamental base of learning from my dad, who was a very successful Pee Wee football coach. He went 6 consecutive years without ever losing a game at the 6th and 7th grade level. And then I transitioned a lot of those lessons into coaching young kids at the age of 15. Won my first championship when I was 15 years old with a 5th grade basketball team. And then kind of built on it from there. So really, I almost from birth, all I could ever think of, Stephen, was to someday I wanted to be the next Digger Phelps. So I wanted to be the next John Wooden. Obviously, I never reached those heights, but I sure had a lot of fun trying.
See, young listeners and older listeners, did you catch what Mark said? His life's passion. And so follow your passion. That's one of the things that we talk about. That's excellent stuff. Mark, what's the difference do you notice today in the game compared to when you were coaching? What are some of the differences that you notice in the college game?
You know, Stephen, one thing that I've noticed is that, first of all, I'm a small college animal. You mentioned in your introduction that I focus on the mid-majors. There's a reason for that, because, again, my passion wasn't about making a bunch of money. My passion was about helping guys get to where they wanted to go, to put them in a position to graduate someday, to be good fathers and good husbands, to be good stewards of our communities. And that's why I got into coaching. I got in because I wanted to be a great teacher first. And I think the difference today between the difference back then, unfortunately, I see too many people getting into basketball because they think they can make money, whether it be as a player, that they can move on to the professional ranks or whatever it might be, or a coach that tends to think in terms of his own ego or her own ego and how he can advance his own career in order to shine the spotlight on himself. That's a bad way to build a career. And I'm not saying every coach is that way, but I'm saying that I've seen a shift with the amount of money that coaches make today versus the amount of money that I made. My last Division I head coaching job, Stephen, I made less than $65,000 a year.
Wow.
So I wasn't in it to make the money. I was in it to help kids to be successful and ultimately to graduate. And I think from the top down, that has become more of a money-focused type of career path than a real passionate type of career to help people to get to where they want to go when you played and when I played and coached.
That's an excellent answer to that. I want to follow up on that with something that's a little bit similar. I want to take you out of your mid-majorology area, and I want to look at today's professional athletes and these guys with their entourages. What kind of advice would you give some of these athletes in how to make a smooth transition from their pro sports career with these entourages and things to becoming a successful business entrepreneur? What advice would you give them?
Well, first of all, I think that the KISS philosophy applies here. Keep it simple, stupid. And the more people that you have that are in your ear and advising you on what you should do or shouldn't do all it's going to do is cloud your vision. I think you need to have clarity, Stephen. I think that those that are making any type of transition in their lives, they've got to develop clarity. They've got to renew some of their passion from what they've had from their previous life and be able to apply it to future opportunities. I've changed now my profession basically three different times. I've been a Division I college basketball coach. I've been a sales professional. And then I transitioned that into broadcasting and speaking professionally. And I still do consulting work and do a lot of sales activities even now with my own company. And so what I did was I took a little bit of time. When I got fired in 1996, because there's two kinds of coaches, those who have been fired and those who are going to be. that's just not the way it works.
That's right.
And when I got fired in 1996, I took some time to reevaluate where do I really want to be. And, Stephen, I came to a clear and concise decision that I wanted to be a better father and husband. And every decision that I was going to make from 1996 on was first going to be decided by how effective could I be as a husband and how effective could I be as a father. So those athletes that are making a transition from being in the athletic world, competing, dribbling that basketball, and then going into some other type of passion, I think they've got to take time, and in some ways some selfish time, to determine what do I really want to be? What do I want people to say about me? How do I want to represent myself and my family? How important is it to me to be a great father and husband first, or do I still need all these hangers on that are going to feed my ego? That says a lot about character right there. And I would advise any young man or woman that's going in away from professional sports or amateur sports into what you and I are in today, which is the real world, I think you've got to recreate your vision, and I think you've got to ask yourself the hard questions of what's really important in your life.
Excellent job. That's Mark Adams. I'm Stephen Bartle. You're listening to Bartle's Breakdown, and you hit on a little bit, Coach. We're going to transition a little bit. You went into sales after you finished coaching, and how was that experience, and what were you able to use from coaching to thrive in sales?
Tremendous competitive advantage, Stephen. I mean, I went from, I think, the greatest world-class competition in recruiting to private sales in private business. And what I learned from all those competitors, from Jim Calhoun and Rick Pitino, from John Calipari, I mean, I recruited directly against those guys in many situations. And I learned a lot about sales. And here's what I learned more than anything else, Stephen, is that one time I was on a beach with a dear friend of mine named Rob Chavez, who was also a very successful coach at the Division I level, ended his career as the head coach at Portland. And we were both still in coaching at that time. And I asked Rob, I said, when you go into a home, what do you talk about? And he said, well, I talk about our program, I talk about our schedule, I talk about our academics, blah, blah, blah. I said, so you're a me too. And he looked at me. So what do you mean? I said, you're a me too. So what do you think Calhoun talks about? What do you think Calipari talks about? What do you think Pitino talks about? They talk about the same stuff. I said, Rob, you have two ears and one mouth. Why don't you go into the home and use them accordingly? You know, I think in the coaching profession, we needed to do a better job of listening. And what I did was, Stephen, from those examples that I just mentioned and from those experiences, I learned that the most valuable asset I have are my two ears. Wow. And I learned how to listen as a sales professional in order to craft the right message and ultimately prescribe the right solutions for my clients. And that's why I've been successful in sales. I listen well first.
Well, I couldn't have said it any better. And for our listeners, those that haven't heard of Mark Adams, you can go to enthusiadams.com. That's his website. Mark does an excellent job consulting with various companies around the country. So if you're interested, check him out there. Mark, so you talked about that competitive advantage. So from your sales career, it looks like you made a smooth transition once again into motivational speaking. What was the impetus to getting you involved in motivational speaking?
You know, I owe that all to my father. When I was a little kid, my dad insisted that whenever we were in front of family or any type of a group, he would figure out a way to get me in front of that group. I thought every kid did that, Stephen. I didn't know people were afraid to get up in front of people and perform or speak or sing, and I'm certainly not going to make a living as a singer. But as a kid, everybody thinks you're cute, everybody thinks you can sing, and you think you can sing too. And so my dad started at the earliest age. I mean, I can remember our Christmas pageants at home. My grandparents would be there, and he'd get me and my brother and my sister up in front of them, and we'd sing Christmas carols, or we'd do a play, or whatever it was. And from those early beginnings, I gained tremendous confidence that I could make a difference in front of adults. And I entered some speech contests when I was in grade school. I was brought up to believe that educating people was the most noble thing even a young person could do. Even if it was an older audience and I was a teenager, I still felt like there was some things that maybe I could educate people on. And I just maintained that throughout my professional life, and I get a huge adrenaline rush out of it. I always have. From those days doing the little Christmas pageant in front of my family, and they'd give me a standing ovation, I probably stunk. But you know what? I thought I was good because they thought I was good. And so I basically fashioned that into a career path later on in life. And it's amazing what they'll pay you for, but boy, I sure have a lot of fun doing it. And it gives me a lot of intrinsic value by creating value for those that I love and care about. And I love and care about those audiences because they've decided to invest time in me. And that's very, very important to me, and I try to reward them for it.
You know, Mark, you've been successful at every stage of your career. From the time that you said that you learned from your dad and coaching, starting at 15 years old, getting into the college game, becoming in sales, having very much success in there. Now you're a very successful motivational speaker. How has all your experiences kind of boiled, and now broadcasting as well with ESPN, how have all your experiences really benefited your speaking career?
Tremendously. I mean, ESPN and having the opportunity to broadcast there, obviously that's a national marketing opportunity every time I go on the air. And Stephen, the thing that's really cool about it, and listen, you're the best in the country. You do it as well as anybody out there, and I've learned a tremendous amount from you. But the one thing that I really try to focus in on when I'm in front of that camera, and Stephen, you know what it's like when the band's playing and the starting lineups are coming out and the lights come on, and you've got about 30 seconds to capture an audience and convince them to watch your games. And what I've learned from that experience is that it's about your headline. It's about that first impression. It's about how you can allow the viewing audience to see that your game is special, regardless of what conference it might be, that your game is special, and as they're rolling from one game to the other, from one program to the other, they're going to come back and visit with you for a while because you gave them a compelling reason. And so all of those experiences have all rolled together to give me the opportunity to communicate, to educate, to be energized from that audience, and then to share that energy and make that enthusiasm contagious. And that's just a wonderful opportunity for anybody in any walk of life.
And, you know, you have enthusiasm with everything that you do, Mark, because I know you. I've watched you. You know, I watch your games and really enjoy it. Where did you get the enthusiasm, though? Because a lot of guys in our business, you know, sometimes it almost seems like they don't want to be there. You know, like they're not excited to be there. Where did you get your enthusiasm from? Because you said it best. Every game that you do, it feels special when the viewers are watching.
You know, Stephen, one thing that I've learned over the years is that you got to play to your strengths. And I went through a personal journey where I really narrowed in and focused on what I love to do. And, you know, you and I are so lucky to get to do what we do on national television. You know, but the bottom line is, I realize that I'm a maximizer. I like to take things that are good and help people to make them great. And that's based on Gallup research, where I really went on this strength finder journey.
Which you helped me discover as well, and I appreciate.
That's exactly right. And there are guys like Tom Rath and Marcus Buckingham, you know, that have done a tremendous job of research over the years with Gallup and then turned it into a usable commodity for the masses. And so, you know, I know what I'm really good at. And one thing I'm really good at is maximizing opportunities. And how do I get my enthusiasm? It's because I love what I do. And frankly, so many people spend so much time working on their weaknesses, they drain all their positive energy. I spend all my time leveraging my strengths, and that's fun, and that's productive, and that's efficient, and that's how I can stay positive, because I know every day I'm going to get up, and I'm going to do things in my life that I enjoy and that I'm really good at, and it's a matter of showing other people that I'm good at it as well. That's how I keep my enthusiasm at such a high level.
And Mark, if you had any advice to our listeners thinking of following a similar path that you have taken, what advice would you give them?
Don't let anybody tell you no. I won't mention the name of this person, but after I was fired at Central Connecticut, I thought I could be an analyst on ESPN. That was in 1996, Stephen.
Okay.
And I was invited to visit with a gentleman over at ESPN. And I sat down with him and I shared a little videotape of a halftime show I had done with Beasley Reese during the halftime of a Boston Celtics game.
Oh, yeah.
And he watched the tape, Stephen, and he looked at me and he said, "You know what?" He goes, "You have no chance." He said, "Nobody knows who you are.
Wow.
You know, you're not a great-looking guy." And listen, he was right about that.
He told you. Oh, I don't know about that.
But you see my wife. I recruited well over my head on that
point. Oh, yeah. You outkicked your coverage, Coach, on that.
No question. No question. And so he shared with me very honestly, and I appreciated his honesty, that I simply wasn't ready, that I wasn't good enough, and nobody knew who the heck I was. And so I did not qualify for that position. I never forgot that experience because I walked out of his office saying, "You know what? Maybe he's right, but maybe I'm right." And several years later, in 2001, I stood in front of an ESPN camera. Just 5 years later, I stood in front of an ESPN camera for my first game, which was Cincinnati versus Mississippi State, and both were ranked in the top 25 in the country.
Wow.
I thought about that gentleman at that time. And you know what? I appreciate the advice that he gave me because he was right. I wasn't a big-name guy. But where could I find my competitive advantage? I was never going to be any better looking. But you know what? In all due respect, Dick Vitale ain't a great-looking guy either.
You got that
so
right.
I could overcome that. And through preparation and hard work and continuing network and never allowing someone to tell me no. That's my advice, Stephen. Never allow someone to tell you no. If you have a passion and you've got a fire inside of you that says, "I can do this," then pursue every avenue until the avenue goes over a cliff. That's my advice.
See, ladies and gentlemen, that's why I have Mark on this show, because for those that haven't heard of him or haven't bought his services and had him come in to really impact your organization, you can hear it coming through the podcast, the enthusiasm, the knowledge, the competitiveness, and he does this for organizations all over the country. So, Mark, please share with the audience where they can find you and how to get information on your services.
Oh, you betcha. Going out to enthusiasms.com, you can see some video clips of different presentations that I've given across North America and even in international events as well. Also, you can feel free to email me anytime. My personal email address is enthusiasms, enthusiasadams, enthusiasms@earthlink.net. And every email I get, as you know, Stephen, I respond to.
Yes, you do. Everyone. Well, Mark, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. Thanks so much for joining us. Continued success in your ESPN and speaking career. And tell my man Robbie, your son, I said hello.
You betcha, Stephen. A pleasure to meet you. You're a dear and cherished friend. And, you know, one of the great memories I have of this season was you and your father, of course, at the Missouri Valley Tournament,
yep,
watching you both interact. And then you taking time to meet my wife and take a picture with my son, Robbie. You're a big-time guy. And you took time to spend with my family, and I love you for it, buddy. Thank you.
I appreciate that, Mark. That's Mark Adams, enthusiasms.com. Go check him out. That'll do it for this week's version of Bartle's Breakdown. I hope you enjoyed our interview with Mark Adams. He did an excellent job. Tune in next week as we'll have another guest come in and break down their version of business and sports. This is Stephen Barto, and as always, let your will be stronger than your skill. Until next week, holla! If you're in need of a professional speaker for your next event, look no further than yours truly, Stephen Barto, youth, college, association, or corporate, I will tailor my presentation to exceed your desired outcomes. Go to StephenBartle.com for more information.